Track 12. For this week's feature item, we turn once again to the advertiser's Nature Diary. The following piece by Alice Henderson was in last week's edition, but tells of an outing in the South Hams made a few weeks ago when the weather was rather gorgeous. Visiting Woodcombe Sands. Over a year ago, I set off on a quest to visit every beach in the South Hams. So far, I've visited 47 beaches and have just 14 to go, unless I find any others along the way. Some have been easy to get to, whilst others have been a bit of a scramble. This is my latest beach diary from a few weeks ago. With the promise of beautiful spring sunshine, light winds and supremely low tides, I ventured to the beach for lunch after a morning's gardening. I found a lovely spot at Lanercombe and absorbed the sun's warmth as I ate. But this wasn't my destination today, as a little way along the coast is a little cove called Woodcombe Sands, which as far as I can remember I had never visited before. Walking past Lanercombe Cottage, I noticed for the first time that it had an arched porch in the shape of a lime kiln. I discovered later that the building was indeed a former kiln and mill that was supposedly once raided by French privateers during the 1800s. I walked past daisy-covered pony paddocks, complete with grazing ponies, whilst the first chiff-chaff song of the season chimed out. Lush honeysuckle sprouts filled the hedgerows, whilst a sea of old chestnut-coloured bracken fronds covered the hillside, yet to be taken over by fresh sprouts. A bench provided a welcome break near the top of the hill, and I could see that there would once have been a beautiful view looking across Pear Tree Point, now partially obscured by a large conifer. However, a little further up the path, a small gate led to a viewpoint where the panorama was uninterrupted, all the way from Pear Tree Point in the east to Woodcombe Point in the west, with the rocky shore visible below, if you dared to look down. The hillside was a patchwork of yellow and white, with gorse and blackthorn vying to be the superior shrub in flower. Butterflies and bees were loving the warm weather, and I watched as they fluttered or buzzed about, and violets and celandines flanked the path. I could see areas where bluebells and stitchwort would be giving vibrant displays in a few weeks' time. After weaving around two remote houses, I came to the path that leads to Woodcombe Sands, and I made my way down the steps, past a tumbling stream and a boathouse. I was almost blinded by the white pebble beach as it reflected the sunlight, and it looked gorgeous, set against the blues of the sea and sky. But there wasn't a speck of sand to be seen. My first instinct is always to explore, so I jettisoned my stuff on the beach and ventured into the labyrinth of rocks nearby. I quickly noticed an abundance of anemones in the first pools I discovered. They were all beadlet anemones, although some had lost their burgundy colouring and were a beige colour instead. Although they weren't all fully emerged, I could see their violet beadlets tucked just inside the lip of their jelly-like home. Known for its excellent rocky shore, I set out to the furthest point to be chased in by the now incoming tide. There was abundant marine life in the small pools I investigated. The most notable finds were some tiny, squat lobsters and three pipefish. The latter resembled tiny pieces of seaweed and are actually a relation to the delightful seahorse. I was thrilled with my finds, as I'd not seen a pipefish since teaching rocky shore ecology on the southwest coast of Scotland over a decade ago. Returning to the beach, I lay looking up at the sky. As my eyes adjusted, I realised that dozens of gulls were circling above, and I thought I'd best keep my mouth shut, just in case. Turning over, I started studying the white pebbles, which by now were each casting their own grey shadow as the sun lowered in the sky. Each pebble was different, as they usually are, with some resembling chunks of Kendal mint cake and others imperial mints. Some sparkled as their crystals reflected in the sun. A woodlouse wandered into my vision, and I wondered what it was thinking as it clambered over and in amongst what would be massive boulders for a creature that small. It was a perfect day for my first swim of the year, 20th of March, which would have been my mum Sally's 75th birthday. She died 7 years ago, but I think about her often when I'm out and about exploring. With the warm sun shining, I made my way into what is usually the coldest water of the year. As I acclimatised, there was a lot of gasping and maybe a little swearing under my breath. I turned to come back to shore, and glancing up was afforded a spectacular view of the jagged old cliffs towering above me, with sunlight beaming through every recess. Getting out, I'd forgotten the wonderful sensation you get after a cold swim. Slightly numb skin. It feels almost warm. I sat on the bottom of the boathouse slipway as I tucked into my snack of almonds and clementine before saying goodbye to the 47th beach.